Let's turn our Bibles this morning to John chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 43 to 54, talking about the progress of faith. John chapter 4, verse 43 says, "Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman, whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can open your word together. We thank you for the privilege we have to worship you publicly and to just worship you from our hearts. And Father, we thank you for the things that you will teach us from your word this morning. And I pray that you would use me to be clear and accurate in what I say. Help me to be able to convey the truths that you have shown to me through study. And I pray that you would encourage and challenge our hearts this morning. We thank you, and we pray that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. What is faith? You could probably ask 10 people and come up with 11 definitions. But faith is defined in the Bible as assurance, agreement, belief, trust, contentment, obedience, and yielding. And as we look at those definitions, we realize that faith is something that is extended toward a person or toward an object. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." You know, a lot of times we like to know how things are going to happen. We like to know how things are going to work out this week. Wouldn't you like to know if Jesus sat down with your calendar this week and said, "Well, on Monday this is going to happen. On Tuesday you're going to face this, so let me prepare you for that." He doesn't do that. So we begin our week with what? With faith. Faith knowing that God is going with us through the week. Faith knowing that he's going to prepare us in everything that we face this week. And though we may not have all the facts laid out before us, we have enough evidence about God to know that we can trust him. That is faith. There are also degrees of faith. Mark chapter 4, verse 40, Jesus is rebuking the disciples because their faith had been replaced by fear. He said they had no faith. They wanted to have control of every part of the situation. They were in the midst of this shipwreck, or not shipwreck, but this storm. And they wanted to be able to control. And when they didn't, rather than leave their safety and lives in God's hands, they grasped for anything they might hold on to give them that confidence. When they found themselves helpless, they became fearful instead of having faith. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, Jesus describes a person who is anxious about even their basic needs as having little faith. But in Luke chapter 7, verse 9, the centurion sends his servants to Jesus to ask him to heal his servant that was sick, and Jesus said he had great faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is full of those who had faith that moved them to make great choices to serve and honor God. You see, there's degrees of faith, but we're not talking about the degrees of faith so much this morning. In the second miracle that John highlights in Jesus' ministry, we see a progression of faith on the part of the nobleman. Jesus had left Samaria, And after the conversation with the women at the well, and he'd been there a couple of days ministering to the people there, and he goes to return to Galilee. But he doesn't go back to his hometown of Nazareth, which is in that region of Galilee. Why does he do that? Well, it says a nobleman, or it says here in verse 44, Jesus himself testified, a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 54. Jesus had been teaching in another area. In Matthew 13:54, it says, when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Why didn't he go back to his own country? Because they knew they wouldn't receive him. He knew that before he even went back. But he goes back to the area of Cana. Says that same area where he had just a few months earlier had turned the water into wine. He goes back to Cana, and it seems that the news of Jesus' ministry was spreading quickly because people in the area began to say, hey, Jesus is coming back. And people began to find out, and it spread like wildfire. And so people began to gather as Jesus comes back, and there among these people was a nobleman. We see here in verse 46, there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. About 20 miles away was Capernaum. And this nobleman hears about Jesus, and he comes down 20 miles away, and he comes to Jesus. Now this nobleman, he was probably of Herod's court. We don't know what his position was, but the urgency of the situation shows that he came himself. He didn't send somebody else. He said, I got to do this, and I mean, you make sure it gets done. So he goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I want you to heal my son. And the first thing we see here in this nobleman is a crisis faith. A crisis faith. This man was at a point of crisis in his life. His son was sick, and if something wasn't done, his son would die. And so he comes to Jesus and he begs Jesus, he pleads with him to come and heal his son. So here we see a faith that says, I believe Jesus can heal my son. I believe he can do that, but he'll need to come to my house to do it. It was a faith that believed to a point, but yet not to the point of full surrender. He wanted to dictate how Jesus did. He said, Jesus, you got to come to my house and do this. Moses had that kind of faith, the burning bush in the wilderness of Midian in Exodus chapter 3. God says, Moses, I'm going to send you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses is like, okay, God, what? God, I don't know how to speak. God had to prove to Moses, Moses, I'm sending you. I will equip you. I will enable you. Gideon had that kind of faith in Judges chapter 6. God called him to lead the children of Israel against the Midianites. He says, Gideon, I'm going to use you. And he says, are you sure? God, can you give me confirmation of this? I believe you could, God, but are you sure you want to use me? God says, yes, I'll use you. He says, God, could you prove it to me just tonight? Just prove it to me. So God did what he had asked. God, could you do it again tonight? God patiently answered his request. Maybe you've been at that point in your life where there's no place to turn than to call out to God for help. You felt like you've come to the end of your lifeline and you call out to God, but you attach your own guidelines as to how he's supposed to do it. God, I've got this sickness and I'd really like you to heal me of this sickness. Is that complete faith? As we look at Jesus' response in verse 48, it seems a little harsh. He says, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. But Jesus was not directly rebuking this nobleman. He was exposing the reality of the Jews who had seen and heard the miracles he did. He said they wanted more signs, they wanted more miracles to really believe that he was a Messiah. He says, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. Jesus knew their hearts. He knew what they really, they were just being wowed by these things. Once again, the nobleman pleads with Jesus to come to his house, and he says, sir, come down here, my child die. And Jesus' response causes this man's faith to take a great step forward. And he went from a crisis faith to, secondly, a confident faith. This man didn't need all the signs and wonders. He believed that Jesus could heal him. And Jesus says there in verse 50, he says, go thy way, thy son liveth. And there came a point in time where he realized he didn't need to dictate how Jesus would answer his request. He simply needed to believe that he would, according to his will. The Holy Spirit had obviously done a work in this man's heart, preparing his heart to acknowledge the power of God on his behalf. So Jesus, I believe you can, and if you will, I ask you, please heal my son. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Here's someone else that was pleading with Jesus to heal someone for them. Matthew 15, 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She's becoming annoying, Jesus, send her away. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. See, Jesus had come to bring the gospel to the Jews first. And so he was saying, it's not meet for me to take that which is due to someone else and take it to cast it to the dogs, or to give it to someone who is looked down upon. But he answered in verse 27, she said, truth, Lord, that's true. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This woman had faith to believe that Jesus could deliver her daughter from demonic possession. And even though she knew she was from a group of society that was looked down upon, she was from that remnant that just was looked down upon with disdain, she says, Jesus, would you please release my daughter from this? And she came with confidence. And notice how Jesus describes her faith in verse 28. It says, a woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Jesus responds to the nobleman with a few simple words, go thy way, thy son liveth. And God takes that crisis faith, that imperfect faith of this man, and transforms it into a confident faith. Notice his response in verse 50. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Someone may read that passage and ask, why didn't Jesus heal Lazarus before he died? Why does Jesus heal some and not others? I can't answer that question. But I do know that he knows what's best, and his desire is that we trust him with the results. He wants to turn our crisis faith into confident faith, not one that dictates the results, but one that leaves the results to his all-knowing, all-powerful wisdom to do the best for what is those all those involved. And we can pray for somebody that has a physical need. God says, I say, God, please heal them. God may not heal them. God may take them home to heaven. But you know what? He's answered the prayer because it was his best. For us, for them, it was his best. We meet here on Wednesday evenings and we pray through about 30 different requests usually. Sometimes God answers those requests as we pray, God, please heal them. Sometimes he answers them another way. But it's his desire that we come to him in prayer with a confident faith in him, knowing he will answer according to his will for our best. The third thing we see here in this nobleman is a confirmed faith. This man heads home, believing that God would heal his son. And as he's getting closer to home, his servants come out to meet him and confirm to him that his son was indeed well. His son had recovered from his sickness. And so he says, what time was it that he began to feel better? Perhaps the father thought that you know, was maybe going to take some time. But it seems to have been an instantaneous healing because the servant said, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. He was better after that. He was all well again. This man didn't stay back with Jesus and plead with Jesus and say, Jesus, would you just come? I know you can do it. Would you just come? No, he had that confirmed, that confident faith that said, I know you can do it. And he went on. And because he had that confident faith that he went, he had that faith confirmed in the fact that his son was healed. Does that mean we should only pray for something once and leave the results to God? No. James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we pray continually for something. When you see a request on our prayer list, it's on there for weeks and months. We continue to pray for that. Why? Because it shows our dependence on God. It shows, Father, we need you to do your best in this situation. It also shows that we have faith in his ability to give what is best in his time and his way. But fourthly, we see here in this passage a contagious faith. Contagious faith. This wasn't a miracle just in the fact that the nobleman's son was healed. It was a miracle in the fact that this nobleman and his household believed that Jesus truly was the Messiah. Verse 53, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. When the father heard that his son had been healed at that same hour that Jesus said, thy son liveth, he believed in Jesus. He shared that with his whole house. He believed that Jesus was who he said he was. He believed that Jesus was the Savior of the world. He believed that Jesus was the one who came to die for our sins. And that would not have been something to keep quiet about. So he shared it with his whole household. Kind of like the Philippian jailer in Philippians chapter 16. He comes to the apostles, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they explain the gospel to him, and he gets saved, and he goes and he shares it with his whole household, and his whole household hears the gospel and receives Christ. We've heard stories like that before. A missionary is struggling with some crisis on the field, and the Lord delivers them out of it. Months later, they come home, and they're on furlough, and they're sharing in these churches what God is doing, and they share this particular experience, the situation that they had on the field, where they just didn't know what to do, and they were just asking the Lord to help them. And as the people sitting in that church who are faithful prayer warriors recall back, they recall a time where God brought that missionary to their mind. They didn't understand why. But God brought that missionary to their mind and said, pray for them. They need it right now. And they knelt down and they prayed for that person. They prayed for that missionary to have the strength they needed in those trials. They found out it was the same time. God delivered that missionary and God helped that missionary, answered their prayer. What does that tell us about God? He is not limited by time and space. Jesus didn't have to go to Capernaum to heal that son. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He can do something in one place that will have a direct impact on something somewhere else. We have the opportunity to take those answers to prayer, those actions of God, and share them with others. When God answers prayer, you say, can I share with you what God just did in my life? How God answered a prayer in my life? And we can share those things with other people. But I want to look briefly at this passage from another perspective, and that is the perspective of a person coming to Christ as their Savior. Every one of us is faced with a crisis of our faith. Will we agree with God that we are sinners, condemned to the lake of fire for all eternity? Or will we reject God and continue to live our own way? See, God gives every man light the light of the gospel. God gives every man the light that they may turn to Christ. John 1:9 says, the true light lighteth every man which cometh into the world. Every man has the opportunity to receive the light. What if the nobleman knew his son was sick? He knew that Jesus was over in Cana. What if the nobleman decided he wasn't going to do anything about it? I'll just sit here. He had heard about Jesus and his miracles. He had considered himself too important to stoop to some new preacher down the road to go and see if he could help him. Maybe he thought he'd rather spend his money on man's remedies than take a chance on this healer. Maybe he could lavish this newcomer with all kinds of gifts in hopes of bringing him a miracle. No, the nobleman went and he said, Jesus, I need you to come and heal my son. We are born in darkness, and the only way that we can be saved out of it is to respond to the light of the gospel through Jesus Christ. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when we come to Jesus by faith, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace, by the grace of God giving us something we don't deserve, by God's grace we are saved through faith, by receiving what he has done for us as sufficient to cover the payment of our sin, saying, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's not something we can do. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. We can't hope to live a good life to get it. He takes that faith, though it may be imperfect. It may not be fully mature. And though we may not fully comprehend all that it means, he immediately gives us new spiritual life when we trust him as our Savior. He places within us his Holy Spirit to bear witness of the fact that we are a child of God. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in our hearts, and he confirms to us that we are children of God. He gives us that confident faith. And then as we grow in Christ, and the Holy Spirit teaches us from God's word about our position and promises in Christ, our faith in Christ will be confirmed by our increased knowledge and our vibrant fellowship with God. Let me read for you John 16:13-15. John 16:13. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit coming to dwell on the earth and dwell in our hearts. And he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And as we grow in that understanding of who God is, because the Holy Spirit is teaching us, he takes those things, and those things will be evident by a contagious faith where we learn those things and we say, you know what? We go to work and we say, can I share with you something God showed me in my Bible this morning? Can I show you something that may be an encouragement to you today? That we have a God that can help you with that trial. We have a God that can go with you through that. Let me share with you how you can know him. And we have a contagious faith. So where are we in our progress of faith? Have you come to Christ by faith? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Do you have that confidence in your faith through the witness of the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you because you have trusted him as your Savior? Is your faith being confirmed by growing in grace and knowledge of Christ? And is your faith contagious? Is it so real to you that others need to hear about it, that you desire to share it with others? How are you in your progress of faith this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the testimony of this nobleman. And though his faith was imperfect, yet he trusted you to heal his son. And because he trusted you, because you confirmed his faith by healing his son, he believed on you. And Father, we may not have such a miraculous evidence or a sign in our lives, but Father, we have your word that tells us who you are, tells us what Christ has done for us when we didn't deserve it, when we didn't even ask for it. Father, if there's someone here this morning that does not know you as Savior, please work in their heart. Father, we know it's your will that no one perish, but that all come to repentance. We pray that you'd work in their hearts to draw them to yourself today, that they would not go another day without knowing that they know you as their Savior, that their eternal destiny is settled, that they have a fellowship and a walk with you. Father, as believers, help our walk, help our fellowship with you to be so vibrant that others can't help but take notice. And help us to be able to share with them what you're doing in our lives and what you can do in theirs. We thank you for what you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.